Well, I was going to get into the Word this morning, and we'll talk about true love. True love. True love is enduring love, love that lasts. God's love is eternal. God's love is not fleeting. It's not conditional. It's eternal. The Apostle Paul gave Timothy a description of the conditions that would exist in the world prior to the Lord's coming. And this is really an example, our description of the spirit of Antichrist. And it's certainly a description of our world today. Guys, if you know what I'm talking about. If we're not careful, we can really get depressed if we just look around at the world around us. But if we're looking up, if we're looking to the Lord, you know, there's joy in His presence. And God is looking for someone who will be an expression of His heart in this world to bring joy into this world. Amen. God wants people to be happy, and you can't be made happy until you get right with God first. So God wants to get you right with Him. Amen. That's why He went to the cross, so that we could have forgiveness of sins. Amen. And be made right, be reconciled to God. And so that we can be joyful in Him. Amen. And have peace in this world, and people can see the fruit, the evidence of salvation in our lives around us, that we're not drinking the world's Kool-Aid and we're not dancing to the world's flute. But the conditions that exist among unbelievers are also going to characterize many professing Christians in the last days. And so in 2 Timothy 3, there's 19 characteristics of mankind, and I'm not going to go through all of them today, okay? During the last days, but at the very top of this list, is it says that men will be lovers of themselves. 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous, difficult, or dangerous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. And how many know that selfishness is at really the root of every problem? Amen. Our pride, right? And out of that comes all kinds of abuse and neglect and just all the things that we see, you know, how people are hurt and affected by selfish people. And we're born selfish. You know, our children, yeah, it doesn't take long for you to realize that they're born, what? Selfish. And I know this is offensive to those who think that they were born righteous, but that's not the truth. The Bible is very clear that there's none good except one. That's Christ. Amen. And He's the one that makes us good. But it says men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. King James says more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, these are the characteristics of the spirit of Antichrist, which really is any individual who is just living a natural life is going to be prone to all these things. This is the fruit of the flesh, the fruit of the sin nature. And so all of us were born with that nature. And we've certainly displayed that kind of fruit. But God wants us to abide in Him so that we will bear His fruit, the fruit of life, really, the fruit of love. God's love, again, is not a conditional love. It's not a love that says, if you love me, I'll love you back. If you do good to me, I'll do good to you. You know, that's the conditional world love, amen, and or the eros, just the feeling of being loved. How many know a lot of people are making decisions based upon feelings, not upon truth, but upon how they felt at the moment? And the enemy is good at stirring up people's emotions and getting us to do things hastily without thinking it through. Whatever happened to critical thinking anymore, right? It's all, well, what do you hear? Well, I don't know. I heard Joe say this, so that must be true. Well, have you checked it out? Well, no, I just know that whatever Joe would tell me would be true. You know, we need to study to answer. We need to be careful that we're not spreading stuff or repeating stuff that we hear without carefully checking it out. I've done it before. You have too. But God wants us to be careful about the things that we say, the things that we repeat. Why? Just because we heard a preacher say it. A lot of things get tossed around even in the body of Christ because somebody said something somewhere. It sounded right and people just repeated it but never checked it out. Does it really line up with what God says? You know, the Lord never taught us, hear me, to hate ourselves, you know, but to deny ourselves. And being a follower of Jesus means that we prioritize what God wants above what we want. It means our human will is submitted to the will of God. And a friend of God is one who obeys God. That's the topic yesterday, was being a friend of God. But a friend of God is one who obeys God. And John 15:12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you," by his example. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." So there's no greater love than the Father's love for his creation. Amen. The greatest love of all was the love of God. Amen. The greatest love of all was Jesus dying on the cross for you and for me. And I've used this before, but sometimes when I hear this, I'm in the store and this famous song by Whitney Houston, "The Greatest Love of All." How many of you have heard that song, right? Probably know it. One of the lines in that song says, "Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfills my needs. A lonely place to be, so I learned to depend on me." Learning to love yourself, in the song, is the greatest love of all. You know, it saddens me to think of this poor soul, lost soul, really. It never realized that the greatest love of all was not in her, but in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. The greatest love of all is the love of our Father, the love of God. It's not about learning to love yourself. We already love ourselves. We're born loving ourselves. We're born self-centered. Come on, somebody. And the reason we get upset with ourselves and we say, "I hate myself," is because you didn't live up to the standard that was set so high for yourself, because you love yourself so much. I'm not going to repeat that, but. But we're born with a nature that's very self-centered, narcissistic, satanic, really. We want to be God, our own God, to live independent of anyone else's authority or rule. That's why you got to have laws in the land, amen, that can be enforced. As we see what happens when they remove, all right, restraining forces in areas, the people are just going to do what they're sin nature tells them to do. Growing in the Lord really means growing in his love. Because God desires his love to be in us and expressed through us. Philippians 1:9, "I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, not by you, not by your willpower, but by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God." Remember, the Lord said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Amen. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Now, you know, the Lord wants us to follow him. The Lord wants us to hear him, to obey his voice. But we need to understand that there is suffering involved in loving. There is suffering in love. Amen. And true love is a love that will endure the test of time. The people closest to you obviously will hurt you the most. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient, but it means it what? Suffers long. Love does what? It suffers long. It's patient. It endures, right? And is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Now, think about it. Jesus experienced every kind of suffering for you and for me. He is a sympathetic high priest. He understands our weakness. He knows what it's like to live in this world. And if you read Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was what? Wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. God loves us that much. God demonstrated his love for us in the cross. And there is suffering in true love. Conditional love, earthly, sensual love, is conditioned upon everything being right, being just so, but it doesn't require sacrifice. I love you to the degree that you love me. I'll do for you as long as you do for me. But the love of God is a sacrificial, self-giving love. Amen. It's the love of God that was demonstrated for us when Jesus came to this world, this sin-sick world. Amen. And he had to suffer all the persecution, all the rejection, all the opposition, all the temptations. He had to control himself. He had to endure, amen, and overcome so that he could be our faithful high priest, so that he could become the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, amen, that would take our place. Because we deserve to die, he died in our place. If we walk, really walk in the love of God, sometimes, you know, people are not going to understand you. They're not going to get you. They're going to, just like they did with Jesus, they may despise you and reject you, cast you out of their company. People will hate you if you live the love of God. Paul the Apostle says, the more that I love, the less that I'm loved. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we love our kids enough to have to be straight with them, amen, to hurt their feelings for a season because we care and we really love them. But they're not necessarily going to love you back when you're punishing them. But we hope and pray that in time they will wake up and realize, you know what, they were right. I'm glad that they did discipline me. I'm glad that I had parents that disciplined me. I didn't enjoy it at the time, but later on I appreciated it because it taught me self-discipline. But Jesus experienced every kind of suffering for us because he loved us that much. He didn't have to give his life. He said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. That's God's kind of love. It's not that we loved God, but God loved us and gave his son an offering to pay our debt. If we walk in love, God's love, we should expect to share in the sufferings of Christ. But by the grace of God, we can endure all things because love suffers long. Agape love, God's love, endures. It will endure. 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That he should not live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. In other words, I have to deny myself the things that my flesh wants to do in order to be a servant of the Lord. If I'm going to follow Jesus, amen, it's going to require me to deny myself certain things. I need to be willing to submit my will to the will of Him that called me. And we're not able to do that just by our own willpower. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we must be empowered by God. That's why we need the ability of God, the grace of God, in order to overcome our sinful nature and keep it in check. Amen. And as Paul said, to die daily to that part of me that wants to rebel against God, that wants to live independent of God, that wants to be its own God. You know, if the love of God doesn't master us, the love of the world will. I use that often. I don't even know where I got that. I got it years ago. But if the love of the Lord doesn't master us, then the love of the world will. And it's the same thing with our kids. There's a lot of temptation, a lot of pressure to conform. You know, the focus of Satanism is the exaltation of self. Self-esteem, self-importance, self-gratification, self-indulgence, etc. Instead of self-denial, Satanism promotes excessive self-indulgence. Satanism teaches that we are to serve our fallen nature and exalt the human ego, humanism. One of their creeds is, "Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Do as thou wilt. The first tenet in the Satanic Bible is, number one, it says Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. Now think about our society today. Think about our world. Think about America. How controlled already, how influenced we are already as a nation, even in the church to some degree. This is why so many people are attracted to Satanism, because it offers them the lie that you can indulge your sinful flesh without any consequences. It basically says you are your own God. Do what you want. And how many know that this is infiltrated into Christendom, right? As if obedience is optional. And this is in direct contrast, of course, to what Jesus taught. He said to them all in Luke 9:23, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." He didn't say hate yourself or think less about yourself. He says you need to deny yourself. That means don't prioritize your will above mine. And take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Will save it. See, this goes contrary to our human understanding, our human reasoning. It conflicts with that old nature that we were born with. There's a battle, isn't there, going on for who's going to be in charge every day, who you're going to bow to, who you're going to obey. And by the grace of God, we overcome. By our faith in God's promise, His provision, amen, His supply of the Spirit. There's no excuse, because the sin problem's already been dealt with in the believer's life. Amen. The Lord has overcome sin for us. He's broken the power of sin. So there's no excuse for me to indulge my sin nature when it has no power over me except that which I give it. So I have to say no to those things. Why? Because they grieve the heart of God, and because sin is destructive, not only to me, but to everybody around me. And if we're walking in God's love, it means I care about others. And so I'm going to behave myself so I'm not a bad influence on anybody else. I want to be an example. I want to encourage you to go with God. So even though I have the opportunity to indulge my sin nature, I refuse to, because it's not worth it. And there's times when we're going to stumble. Thank God we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. But there's no reason why we can't live a life of victory, because the Lord has already overcome the world. And he grants us all the grace, all the ability that we need by his Spirit. Not because I'm just trying hard or I'm especially talented or witty or whatever. No, it's because God is gracious and God has given us access to his throne of grace. So all that we have need of is freely given to us in Christ so that we can live victorious in this world by the power of God, by the grace he supplies us. And it's not of us, it's of God. So my confidence is not in me and my ability to live right, but God's ability to live in me and through me. Amen. As I just say no to me and yes to him. The Amplified in Luke 9:23 says it this way. And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. You know, guys, you don't have to join a coven or attend a Satanist church to be a Satanist. Whenever you exalt yourself above God and his word, you're bowing down to Satan. Did you know that? Jesus is Lord, and all authority has been given unto him in heaven and on earth. And every knee will bow to him, every tongue confess Jesus is Lord. And there are so many, many so-called Christians today who don't even believe in an actual devil, an actual hell. And that is exactly what the devil wants you to believe, that he doesn't exist and that there's no real hell. The spirit of Antichrist is preparing the masses to receive the Antichrist. And there are many who are already caught up in the deception. We can see it. If a person refuses the love of God, if they refuse the love of God, they will be deceived. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one, Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It's not that they didn't hear or were made aware of the truth. It's that they refused the love of the truth. Are you hearing me? They didn't receive it. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. God is patient. He's long-suffering. And then they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had what? Pleasure in unrighteousness. When we willfully sin, guys, it's an insult to God. When we as believers willfully indulge sin, you know, we bring reproach upon our Lord. We dishonor his holy name. We have a responsibility as God's children, as God's people, to behave ourselves. And we can behave ourselves because God has enabled us to do so by his Spirit and his word. So we're without excuse. Do you love Jesus today? Then that means that you obey him, right? See, some people think I just need to make a reformation or make a few adjustments or a few changes. I mean, know that a reformation isn't enough. There must be repentance and regeneration. You must be born again. See, a lot of people are just making positive changes. People come to church so that they can learn some self-help tips, so I can make some, you know, adjustments to my lifestyle and improve upon the old thing. Well, God says you got to discard the old thing. The old thing's no good. The old life isn't any good. You can't redeem the flesh. Amen? You have to die to your flesh. You have to put it to death every day. You have to disown it. It's not who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have gone, the new things have come. Amen. I'm a citizen of heaven now, and I have power and I have victory in Jesus' name. And I can overcome this world because the overcomer lives within me. And as I rely upon his power, amen, that's why you must pray or you'll fall, P-R-E-Y, pray. Because you can make positive changes in your life and still perish in hell. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. So what does God say? We need to repent of our sins, commit our lives to the Lord, right? That means we're no longer Lord of our lives. Jesus is the Lord of our lives now. Surrender your life to the only one who can save you. Amen. How many have discovered that life in the Lord is so much better? Amen. It's good to have peace, isn't it? Peace in your heart. It's good to be able to lay your head down at night and have a clear conscience. Amen. I know what it's like to live with a bad conscience. And trying to escape it, but you really can't. There's help with the Lord, isn't there? How many know the blood of Jesus is effective in cleansing your conscience? Amen. And bringing you into peace with God. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. So what is the greatest love of all? It's not loving me. It's not loving myself. It's the love of God. And it's the love of God that was demonstrated for me at the cross. It was Jesus willing to lay down his life for me. And he was an example to us as his followers. Also, we should join with him, amen, in his mission to live our lives now for the one who died and rose again and to bear fruit unto eternal life. Hallelujah. Knowing here that this world is temporary, amen, and it's going quickly. How many realize today that your life is going by very quickly? Mm-hmm. In Revelation 21, verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow. I'm going with Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, by the grace of God, we're victorious. By the grace of God, we overcome fear. You can do what God said you can do by the power of God that he freely supplies to you. If you will come and drink, amen, you will receive what you have need of, amen, to live a life that honors God, that bears good fruit unto eternal life, amen. Let's not waste ourselves, amen, and waste our time here on this temporary planet that we live in. When we, amen, have been given an opportunity now to join forces with the Lord, to partner with him, to bear fruit unto eternal life, and to encourage one another to do the same. Hallelujah. We're here today to be equipped, right, to receive the truth, amen. But what you do with it is up to you. You can go and you can just kind of bury it, or you can go and you can invest it. You can look for opportunities. You can pray and say, Lord, where and how can I serve you? How can I love you back? You've been so good to me. You've done so much for me. How can I now offer myself back to you? How can I serve you? What can I do for you? I don't know about you, but I find joy in serving the Lord. See, God wants us to stir up the gift within us. There has to be action to our faith, right? There has to be a stirring up. There has to be a deliberate action on our part to align ourselves with what God is telling us to do. And I found that when I step out in obedience to whatever God is telling me to do, God meets me there. His power is supplied there. His life is manifest there in the place of obedience. He will be where he told you and I to be. He will be in that which he's called us to do. Amen. God wants us to bear fruit. Amen. He doesn't want us just to become, excuse the term, but, you know, spiritually obese. Where we're just constantly feeding and feeding and feeding, but we're not giving out. And I heard somebody say the other day, you know, that sometimes people are just, they're looking for to be fed. And I understand if you come and you sit under teaching, amen, you'll pray that the Holy Spirit will work through that person and that there would be something, amen, that you could take and be nourished by, all right? But guys, how many know that it's got to be more than just coming and taking? It's not about just being served, right? We need to be fed, yes. But some people, that's their whole existence, is just coming and being fed, but they're not feeding anybody else. And guys, I'm not here to put anybody on a guilt trip unless the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Amen. I'm not here to convert anybody. It's the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that does the conversions. Amen. The converting of the heart. But God wants us to be active. God wants us to be engaged. God wants us to partner with Him and His mission. Look for opportunities. Look for a place where you can serve. You can bloom where you're planted, wherever you work, wherever you're in your home, and your children, your grandchildren. Amen. You can be a minister for Christ there. Walmart, wherever you find yourself, be open, be available for God to use. Look for brothers and sisters that are going through a hard time. Maybe you haven't seen them today. You can give them a call. I probably forget. Help me out a little bit here, right? And you are doing that, praise God. Sometimes I find out about prayer requests through somebody else. Did you know so-and-so was in the hospital? No. But thank God you told me, you know, and so then I can either call them or certainly get the prayer chain going, right? But there's something that we can do, guys. You know, one of the simple things that the Lord has shown me to do is just do a daily text. Send the word out, a little word, right? Something every day. Amen? But, you know, you could take that and you can share that with your circle of friends. Or you could just pray and say, Lord, give me a word that I could share with my circle of friends, right? Doesn't have to be what I sent you. But I know, guys, that there's ways that God will work through our lives if we really are open to Him and available to Him. Faith is more than just acknowledging something to be true. You've heard the message today. You can say that was a good word, or yeah, I agree with that, or no, I don't agree with it. It doesn't matter, because if it's truth, you're responsible now. Amen for what you've heard. I'm just the paper boy, so don't shout me down or right there. But we need to be faithful. You have to have confidence in God. It's by the power of God that we overcome that part of us. Because that is our nature, isn't it? It's, we can easily look at things and live by sight and be controlled by the things that we see. So, okay, the greatest love of all, what is that? It's not loving yourself, but it's the love of God. All right. Now, Hebrews 12:25, listen, see that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. So also our beloved brother, Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Now, what are we looking forward to? We're looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth. We're in a temporary place. All right? We're a pilgrim people. We're passing through. Amen? God has given us a certain window of opportunity, a certain time frame to accomplish His will. And so today you need to be asking the question and say, Lord, where do you want me to serve? How do you want me to serve? And never forget why you serve the Lord. Amen. You serve the Lord out of gratitude, out of appreciation for what He's done for you. Have you received something today from the Lord? Amen. Then let's be good stewards of that which we receive. It's a good idea, and I need to do it more often, but to write down things that I hear so I can catch it and I can look at it again and I can ingest it into my spirit. Amen. Because we need to be putting that truth on the hard drive so that when we find ourselves in the moment with other people, amen, God may just drop a word into you and He wants you to share that with somebody else. There's an opportunity for you to bear fruit. Because we're living, amen, for eternity. And I'm reminded as I get older not old. As I get older, how quickly life is going by. You know? And you can't go back and change what happened yesterday. Right? You can't go back and change what happened yesterday. But you can make a difference today. We're supposed to live with the Lord. We're supposed to daily walk with the Lord. And in order to do that, we need the power of God, the strength that He supplies for us to do that which He's called us to do. And I know there are people who say, oh, it's not about works, brother. It's by grace. Yes, but we have been saved for what? For good works. Amen. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Come on, somebody. How many know that the bridegroom wants his bride to bear fruit? Jesus wants His church to bear fruit. Amen. And you can, because He's already given you everything you need. And all you need is faith in God. Faith, confidence that God's going to come through for you. Even when He brings you into places, yeah, where it may be scary at times. It may not be your choice of assignments. But if God is calling you to do something, do yourself a favor and do everybody else a favor around you. Obey God and do what He's called you to do. All right. Step out and you'll watch God. Amen. He'll intervene. He'll be there where He told you to be. And He will accomplish His will. If He gives you a word, speak it faithfully. Amen. How many have ever heard a word while you're sitting and listening to a message and you say, you know what? So-and-so could use this. Yeah. It's usually the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to share the same word with somebody else. So understand that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We don't see instant results. I like instant results, but we just keep on sowing and we keep on watering. And in God's time. And you know, sometimes, guys, people are changing. You know, and we may not really be fully aware of that, but God is still working and still changing. Incrementally, people are changing. I believe that things are happening with you guys. Amen. And little by little, and those things and those people that you sow into. Amen. Little by little, God is changing people, changing hearts. Amen. So don't ever get to this idea. The devil wants to talk you out, okay, of being productive. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to believe that you're wasting your time. But, you know, we're not drinking His Kool-Aid anymore. We're drinking the new wine. Hallelujah. God supplies all of our need. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Blessed be Your name, Lord. Lord, we thank You that we get to serve You. Lord, we thank You that we get to do what we do. God, we thank You for the body of Christ. We thank You for the strength and this that You supply us every day, Lord. Thank You for daily bread. Thank You for this day, Lord. This is a day You've made. And we'll rejoice and we'll be glad in it. Lord, we can bear fruit because You're within us. God, help us to overcome ourselves. That You can work through us, a vessel that is yielded, submitted to the Master. Oh God, we pray that Your name will be glorified. Be exalted. Hallelujah. Almighty God, I pray You release Your healing right now upon Your body. Lord, we ask You to pour out Your holy oil, the oil of the anointing, upon the heads of Your people here today. God, we pray, anoint our heads with oil, that our cups will overflow. God, that our lives will be an expression of Your heart, that we will abide in You, that we will walk in the love, the greatest love of all, the love of God, the love of our Father. For God, we believe You. We believe that You love us. We believe that You demonstrated that for us in the cross. And we believe that You're with us and You're for us. And that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. May Your will be done in every heart, every life here, and every family. In Jesus' name, Father, release, yes, Your Spirit now. On each one, saturate us. Would you lift your hands to Him right now? Say, thank You, Lord, that You are my daily bread. You are my life. Lord, fill me with Your fullness. Cleanse me from all sin. Make me clean and fill me up. and use me for your glory. Make your will my desire. In Jesus' name, amen.